Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and the phone lines are open for you at 844-322-2742. If you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with a particular issue, maybe something involving the COVID virus, well, we invite you to call right now and speak directly with us inside the studio at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing a delayed broadcast on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your questions to us in the same way by voicemail. As a matter of fact, at the same number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But right now, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Happy Thursday to you, and happy Thursday to all of our listeners out there. We've been walking through the Word of God down this path that I call the Trail of Assurance this month, and that's one thing we as human beings need. We need assurance. We need assurance in all aspects of life. I mean, really, we are very fearful people. We're afraid to take steps of faith. We're afraid to take risks. We're afraid unless we have some assurances that things are going to be okay. Well, God knows our human nature. God knows what we need, and He has provided an abundance, I mean, an embarrassment of riches when it comes to assurance of salvation. So you can go anywhere in the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation, and you're going to see these, what I've been calling mountain peaks of assurance. And today we're going to look at another one of those spots in the Word of God. It's Revelation 3:5. Now, some folks may hear that verse and think, oh, no, that's a verse that says we can lose our salvation. But when you read the verse, it actually tells you just the opposite, that your salvation is secure in Christ Jesus. So this is one of the messages, one of Jesus's messages to the seven churches of Asia, and that's modern-day Turkey. None of these churches exist today. They're all in ruins. But in that day, there was a word from Jesus to each and every one of them. There was only a couple that had words of commendation. Others were being chastised and disciplined and called to repent, to change their thinking about kind of their ministry and their philosophies of ministry and that sort of thing. So this particular message is to the church in Sardis. And he starts off and he says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wow. That is a stunning indictment right there. Yeah. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. So here's some words of judgment. Here's some words of warning to this church at Sardis. But then he shifts gear and says in verse 4, yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, what makes them worthy? Well, the worthy is the Lamb, certainly not us. And the reason they're worthy is because they are connected to the worthy one. And so in verse 5, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So I want to read this passage one more time. Verse 5, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So when we read this verse and actually read what it says, this is one of the pinnacles of assurance on this trail of assurance. God is saying to all who have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus that their names are in the book of life and their names will never be blotted out of the book of life. So that's a promise of God. Mm-hmm. So have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? If so, you have been saved. And what does that mean? You have been clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you have overcome. John has already told us what it means to overcome this world. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, he says this, "Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So that's us believers. That's those of us who have come to a point in our lives and said, hey, we're empty. There's something wrong. There's something missing. We've missed the mark as human beings. There's got to be an answer somewhere out there. And the gospel message comes into our lives. Jesus Christ introduces himself to us and tells us about his death, burial, and resurrection. And our hearts believe and we receive. Mm-hmm. And what we receive is Jesus. And Jesus comes to live inside of us, and his presence in us transforms us from the inside out, so that what adorns us on the outside is the very righteousness of God. We're clothed in white.
Yeah.
That's good news. So those who have been clothed in white, the righteousness of God, their names are written in the book of life. And there's a promise that they will never be struck from the book of life.
Yeah.
That's why this is one of those mountain peaks of assurance in the Word of God. I know you have probably read this at some point in your life, and you have scratched your head and said, is it possible that my name might be blotted out at some point in my life? This answers with a resounding no. Once you're saved, your name is written in the book of life, and it will never be blotted out. One more point I want to make about this, and it goes back to the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Both Matthew and Mark record that story of Jesus being transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And I'm in Luke. I'm trying to get the mark.
It's there, I promise you.
I know it is, and yeah. It's right before Luke. So In Mark chapter 9, it says in verse 2, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them." So this word transfigured is a word that is also translated transformed.
Yeah.
So in Romans chapter 12, it says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, rather be transformed." It's the exact same word, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So this transformation is an internal thing. It starts in the innermost being of who we are, and then it radiates outward. Now, that's the picture we see in this transfiguration. And he was transfigured before them. So what he truly was on the inside, you know, he was housed in flesh and blood, but what he truly was on the inside at this moment of transfiguration showed up on the outside. And it says, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. So why did his clothes become white? Because the inner nature of who he was, what his true essence was all about, began to radiate through that flesh and blood of his and turned his clothes bleached white. He is using that same imagery in Revelation chapter 3. We are wearing white garments. Why? Because of a transformation that has taken place inside of us because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's good news.
That is all good news, Bob. And friends, the resource that Bob is mentioning during his opening remarks is called the Trail of Assurance, and it is a wonderful resource that we want to send to you as you make your gift to Basic Gospel to support this ministry during the month of September. Friends, your gifts are always needed because Basic Gospel has no other means of support to keep the ministry running, and we very much appreciate all the gifts that you, our listeners, make toward that end. You are the reason that we're on the air and online every day. But right now, due to the COVID virus and the uncertainty that many of you are facing, support for Basic Gospel has fallen off, and it has fallen off significantly, we have to say. So we need to let you know this and ask that you do everything that you can to help keep the ministry from getting further behind and with our great stations and the other expenses. It's a critical time, friends, and only you can make sure that Basic Gospel remains available to bring the good news every day. So please make the largest gift that you can today online at basicgospel.net. It is critical, my friends, so we need to hear from you today. And again, please click donate at basicgospel.net. And we, from the bottom of our hearts, we sincerely appreciate every one of you who makes the effort to support this ministry with your love, your prayers, and with your gifts. But again, you can make your contribution today at basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial if you'd like to come in into the studio and speak directly with Bob and me. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We had a follow-up question to what we were talking about at the top of the hour. This comes from B, watching us on YouTube today. So she asked this, so who are the people Jesus is speaking to? What were these people doing or not doing? Had they not truly believed and were just going through the motions? Well, when you get to chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, you see direct messages to specific churches. So when we're talking to a church group, we're talking to the leadership of that church, kind of the philosophy of ministry, what's going on as far as that church, that body is doing. Now this body had missed the message. And as Jesus said right up front, I know your works, you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. So they were going down the wrong, path, except there were some individuals in that church who had actually heard the message concerning Jesus Christ, had actually responded in faith and received the gift of life of Jesus Christ. And they were clothed in the righteousness of God. So in the midst of this church group that is all chaos and confusion and going down the wrong path, Jesus wants to give assurance to the real believers.
Yeah.
And so that's why he writes, as he does, that those who have overcome through their faith in Jesus Christ, they are dressed in white, their names are in the book of life, and they will never be blotted out. So, I mean, you could think of this as like a denomination or something along those lines. There are certainly denominations that have just totally tossed the Word of God. They don't believe that it is authoritative. They believe that there are other sources. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe a lot of stuff that is written in the Word of God. They have really undermined the true message, the true story of Jesus. But within those denominations, there will be people who have genuinely heard and genuinely received, and you definitely want to give them assurance. Even though the leadership is going down the wrong path, you were on the right path because you have believed in Jesus Christ.
We love hearing from B. She has some really insightful questions. And friends, if you have a question, we want to hear from you at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Garden Grove, California, and talk with Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bobs. How you doing? God bless both of you. I love both of you guys.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Ron. It's great to hear from you.
Good. Yes, sir. We're out here just steaming away in 93-degree weather out here in Central Orange County. So I'm just up here, got the fans going, and I got you guys on, and I'm staying cool.
All right.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
I wanted to ask you, Bob, I have a couple of buddies of mine that they've been going to a couple churches, and they've been kind of like turned away and just losing hope because these churches are more or less, you know, trying to get them in and trying to get them to work to do things. And, you know, I want to lead them the right way in the grace that we have in Christ. So I want to bring them, you know, to John 3:16 and those and let them experience that. But you think a good passage would be take them over to Titus 3-7 to let them know about our grace and not have to worry about the works of this life. I mean, as far as getting saved by Christ, about what he did for us.
Well, I love that particular passage of Scripture, Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 3, as you said, all the way to 7 and even into 8. That is really a good explanation of how God saves us, and it's a great explanation of why grace is the only means that salvation can come to you and me. Because he starts it out, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's a good description of the human condition.
I think
you can just walk somebody through that and say, do any of these apply to you? Have you ever experienced this? Felt like you've been led astray? Felt like you've tried to escape some of the sinful passions and yet felt trapped by those things? And if they identify with that, then the grace of God is the solution. They can see that, hey, there's no way that I can work my way out of this mess. That's why Jesus had to come to rescue us, and he rescues us through new birth, the washing of regeneration, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So, Ron, I think that is a fantastic passage.
Once he sees 3, especially verse 4, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, came in and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us right there, not on our, the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. In other words, nothing that we did, but what he already did for us. We believe that, and there it is, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, a great passage also to really solidify what the story is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, where he talks about what I once received, I passed on to you. You've taken your stand on this gospel. And the gospel is this, that Christ died for your sins in accordance with Scriptures, that he was buried. And then on the third day, he was raised back to life in accordance with the Scripture. So that's the story.
Yes, sir.
And that's how he saves us. So
I'll bring that to their attention, too, and give them all these right here. And that should get him into the kingdom with us. I hope so.
Well, yes, indeed. Let me do this, Ron. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And there,
I think I already ordered that from you. I'm just waiting for it to arrive. So
okay.
No,
well, once you get it, Ron, there is a chapter in there called The Crossover. And it just talks about what Christ does to save us and what it means to be saved. And that may be something that can be a backdrop for a conversation.
All right. Excellent, Bob. Well, I appreciate it. And don't worry. None of us supporters are going to let you guys go under. We're going to take care of you. So hang in there, okay?
Well, thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. That is really a boost of encouragement. Thanks for that shot, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Really do.
God bless both of you out there, and we'll talk to you soon, and thank you very much.
Okay, Ron.
Thank you very much, Ron. 844-322-2742. We have a line open for you right now. I had a call from Brandon, had to hang up for some reason, Bob, but his question was how to be assured of salvation. He would like to help others reach that assurance.
Well, that is just a great question. And it gets back to another question, and it's this: what is salvation? Now, oftentimes we couch salvation just in the terms of forgiveness. You've done some bad stuff. You need to be forgiven of that bad stuff. If you will believe that Jesus died on the cross, then you can have forgiveness and a ticket to grant you entry into heaven when you die. Now, That's wonderful news, but it doesn't help us with our here and now. How do we live once we've received forgiveness? And oftentimes people find themselves powerless to live the Christian life. They continue to give in to the desires of the flesh, to give in to the temptations of the world. And with those failures, so to speak, they start to question if they've actually been forgiven, if they've actually been saved. And if they're like me, they pray to get saved again, and then again, and then again, and again, and again, and again. But every time I did that, the doubts continued to linger, and they just intensified until I finally got to the point and said, Lord, I need to know the truth. What is the truth? And the truth is this, that when we come to Christ, we cross over from death to life. Our real condition, our lost condition, is one of spiritual death. Mm-hmm. And our real solution, salvation, is life. So Jesus came that we might have life. And when we receive the gospel, we're made alive together with Christ. We actually receive him as our very life. Yeah. So that's why we have assurance, because his life is now our life. And is Jesus ever going to lose his life? Absolutely not. He died to sin once. He was raised, and he lives forever. And because he lives, guess what else? We live, and we're in union with him. So the only way that we could lose salvation, the only way that we could forfeit our eternal life, is if Christ died.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to die. And that's our guarantee. So if we will just get back to really telling the full story of salvation, then the question of assurance of salvation will take care of itself.
Yeah.
Now, the cross is what guarantees this life is going to be ours forever. Why? Because he took care of every single sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. We died in Christ. So that's been taken care of. Now we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So every sin has already been dealt with. When we receive him, we receive total and complete forgiveness of sins, and we're made alive together in Christ. And nothing will be able to separate us from the life of Christ. His life is now our life. That is our assurance of salvation.
Brandon, hope you're continuing to listen. Hope that's a help to you. And Bob, I think we can squeeze this final question in from Toby, who wrote to us from Amisk, Alberta. Would love for you to shed some light on 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. And, of course, it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall enter the kingdom of God. Just a good old day, I guess, in America. Huh?
Well, that's right. And what he's saying, and this is what we have to latch on to make sense of this passage. He says in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Only the righteous will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, how is unrighteousness spelled out or manifested in this world today? Well, it's manifested through deception and sexual immorality and idolatry and adultery and stealing and homosexuality and greediness and drunkenness and all of those sort of things. Those are just characteristics or fruit of unrighteousness. But in Christ, we've been made righteous, and that's what he goes on to say. But you were washed. Some of that was what you once were, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You were justified or made righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're lost. They've never been clothed in the righteousness of God. That only happens by grace through faith. Those of us who have received Christ by grace through faith, we have been made righteous, and we're not counted among the unrighteous anymore.
Yeah.
We are counted as children of God.
Absolutely. Great news, and that's a help to Toby. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your support now, today, if possible, to keep the good news coming. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net, and we will be privileged to send you a copy of Bob's latest resource called Trail of Assurance as you make your gift in the month of September. So please go to basicgospel.net and make that gift today, and we hope you will partner with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on tomorrow for the Friday study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's a great study, and we hope you'll join us. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.